puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's Sunday morning, abandoned Manitoba time. Gordon Goldsboro is here. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
What was the clue again? Remind us.
Back in November, the Winnipeg City Council approved the construction of a new police station on the site that had provided entertainment, recreation, and accommodations to Winnipeggers since the 1890s. And so I thought this week we're going to talk about the history of that site in the North End.
Okay, so which site are we talking about?
Well, it's kind of hard to describe, but basically it's an 80-acre area west of the CPR Yards in North Winnipeg, and it's bounded by Selkirk Avenue, Sinclair Street, Jarvis Avenue, and McPhillip Street, if you can envision that. In 1891, that land was purchased by the City of Winnipeg as the site for an annual event called the Winnipeg Industrial Exhibition. It was held for the first time over 5 days in late September, early October, 1891, as an exhibition intended to showcase local industrial and agricultural innovation. The first exhibition offered the princely sum of $13,000 in prize money. Now, I know that doesn't sound like very much today, but in those dollars, it was $375,000. That's a lot of money. And as a result, it attracted thousands of people to this event. It grew from a week-long event then to eventually to 10 days. Well, in fact, in 1896, the city declared a half-day civic holiday to allow more people to attend the exhibition so that by 1904, the attendance reached 210,000 people. To put that into context, that was about 57% of Manitoba's total population at that time.
So why so big?
Well, yeah, you'd think, well, that just sounds like a trade show. Why would so many people want to go to that? Well, it's because it was really an entertainment event masquerading as an industrial fair. So in addition to the sort of more dry aspects of the industrial and agricultural machinery, there were exhibits of farm produce and livestock, displays of art, natural history, schoolwork. Hey, they even had exhibits of dogs and babies. In 1910 and 1911, they had a newfangled device called an aeroplane that took off and landed on the exhibition grounds. There were circus acts, trapeze gymnastics, animal parades, auto racing. In 1913, 60,000 people packed the grandstand to watch cowboys and cowgirls demonstrate roping and riding at what was called the Winnipeg Stampede. Of course, you've heard of the Calgary Stampede. Well, Winnipeg had one too. There was a midway with a merry-go-round, a Ferris wheel, and other rides, food concessions, games of chance, evening fireworks. And then there were tractor trials.
So what are tractor? I was following everything else. What are tractor trials?
Right. Yeah. Well, this to me is an important historical event. From 1908 to 1913, the exhibition hosted something called the Winnipeg Light Agricultural Motor Contests. And I suspect that the phrase agricultural motor is probably unfamiliar to most of our listeners because it was soon replaced by another word, the word tractor. You know, so at this time, tractors were still a very new, innovative piece of farm machinery, but in the coming decades, they would completely replace horses on the farm. And of course, today, one can't imagine anyone, you know, doing their farming with horses. But at this time, tractors were still very new and untested. During the exhibition, they did the very first scientific trials of the new tractor designs. You know, they pitted one tractor against another in real-world tasks such as plowing and hauling. They took detailed measurements of their performance. And this whole event really drove early innovation in the tractor industry. You know, designers and manufacturers could see what worked and what did not. So in a very real way, this event at this, you know, this exhibition in Winnipeg really set the pace, I think, for the whole development of agriculture in the early 20th century.
Now, given its popularity, what caused the exhibition to end then in 1914?
Yeah, so it'd be tempting to lay blame on the First World War, of course, because it began in 1914. And you could say, well, you know, they just didn't have the resources or people were busy with the war effort and all that. But this was not the case. The short answer as to why it stopped in 1914 is that it was simply not profitable. you know, it remained highly popular with attendance right to the end. You know, some 60,000 people a day were still attending the 1914 exhibition. But, you know, despite financial investments by the city of Winnipeg and being recognized as one of the largest and best fairs in Canada, it, you know, it never received much support from the federal government. That was probably one of the major factors that contributed to its demise. That and the fact that there was now growing competition from events elsewhere. You know, things like Brandon's Summer Fair that had actually started before the Winnipeg Exhibition back in 1882. Well, by 1912, you know, 2 years before it folded, the exhibition had an accumulated debt of $60,000, over $2 million in today's money. So that by December 1914, when Winnipeg taxpayers were asked to authorize a loan to offset these losses, they said, absolutely not. We're not paying $40,000, you know, to maintain this thing. And therefore, Manitobans would not see the likes of the Industrial Exhibition again until 1952. And that's when the Red River X started.
How was the site used after the last exhibition in 1914?
Well, the grandstand and the circular racetrack were still in pretty good condition. They continued to be used for events at least into the 1920s, as far as I could find from research that I did. They used them for things like auto racing, motorcycle racing, outdoor gatherings. There was a group called the Great War Veterans Association, for example, that met there. That was a precursor of the Canadian Legion. By the early 1920s, however, many of the other buildings on the site were said to be decrepit and needing replacement. So instead of replacing them, they just tore them down or they moved them away, and most of the buildings disappeared. Through the 1920s, though, I found references to a use of the site by a campground. You know, basically, people were becoming more and more active in driving cars, and we were getting visitors from all over Canada, from the United States, that were driving their cars, and they needed a place to stay, so they set up camp in the old exhibition grounds. And there were calls during this time, too, to turn the whole area into a public park, you know, because there weren't a lot of other green spaces available for people. Another noteworthy event happened during the Great Depression in 1935, when the exhibition grounds was used by 1,000 unemployed men, of course, who were affected by the Great Depression. They had come into Winnipeg to take part in something called the On to Ottawa Trek, basically to go to Ottawa and protest the economic conditions. The city officials were a little worried they might get a little unruly, and so they allowed them to gather at the old exhibition grounds merely to wait until they moved on. And then after the Second World War, there was a group of fairly small, and by small, I mean really small houses built. They were about 480 square feet, so pretty tiny by modern standards, that were built for war veterans and their families. And although these were intended to be used for just a short time, anywhere from maybe 10 or 20 years, they actually persisted into the 1990s, and these houses were only demolished in the 2000s.
Well, let's fast forward to 2021. How is the site used today?
It's still used for a variety of things, for a mixture of housing, business, and public recreation. So, for example, a slice was taken off its north side along Selkirk Avenue in the 1940s and 50s for residential housing. And so you can drive along there today and you can see houses that were built at that time. On the east side of the property along Sinclair Street, there are 28 townhouse apartments, and that number is significant. I said there were those 28 small houses. Well, they replaced them with 28 townhouses that were built in the mid-2000s to provide low-income housing. There is an outdoor ice rink. There is the Sergeant Tommy Prince Recreation and Leisure Center. The center of the site contains several baseball diamonds, so there's some recreational possibilities. The south side along Jarvis Avenue is now mostly filled with large commercial buildings. And on the west side, adjacent to McPhillips, are the playing fields used by a football club called the Winnipeg Nomads. And yet, you know, what I find so interesting in this story, Nadia, is that the area is still, to this day, widely called the Old Exhibition Grounds, even though it has not been used for that purpose for over 100 years. There is nobody alive that ever attended the Winnipeg Industrial Exhibition here. So I just don't know why that name has persisted so well.
Yeah, the legacy continues. Gordon, thanks for this. So you have a clue for next week, and you also have a bit of a public service announcement for us.
I do. So next week, we're going to talk about a business that was once found in nearly every good-sized town in rural Manitoba. And these businesses were operated almost exclusively by single men. And these businesses also dramatically expanded the worldview of those who patronized them. So a little cryptic, but we'll talk about that next week. And yes, last year I mentioned around this time that the Lieutenant Governor of Manitoba offers an award called the Historical Preservation and Promotion Award. It's given for people who have done a long record of service in their communities on behalf of the history or the heritage of their communities. Well, the nominations for this year's award will be due on Friday, the 19th of February. So we're looking for people to submit awards nominations for that. And they can get information on what's required for a nomination on the Manitoba Historical Society website.
That's great, Gordon. Thanks for bringing that to our attention. And we will see you next weekend.
Thanks very much. We'll talk then. Bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many